Huh. Let me text him. I have everybody's.
That's what it's.
But she's on there twice, isn't it?
Yeah. I think she's off.
Oh, there he is. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Did you have a hard time finding a place to park? Sorry.
I parked in front of fire hydrant.
That a guy.
All righty. Calling meeting to order. Our first is roll call. Commissioner Cooley?
Present.
Commissioner Ekstrom?
Here.
Commissioner Finch?
Here.
Commissioner Kilkenny?
Is that on yet?
Not yet.
Commissioner Peterson? Can you hear us?
I'm not getting any audio from
you. Oh, shoot. Do we have it off, maybe?
Hit join audio.
Where's?
Far left.
This one?
Yep. Jump to the computer. Go ahead and. Hey, David, can you hear us?
There's John.
Okay. You can hear us now? Okay. Brian, you can hear us?
Yep.
Any echo or anything crazy?
Loud and clear.
Perfect.
Over and out.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yeah. Where am I?
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Thompson?
Here.
Okay. All right. Pledge allegiance?
I'm here. Maybe I was a little late. I'm here.
Okay. It's Diane.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I, yes, so first off, I don't know, did you get on the attendance? Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Yeah.
So, newest, our newest commissioner, and I think you probably know, well, you know those two, and then Liz is from my own. I'm from my own.
Boardman.
Here again.
And so Tripp Finch is our newest planning commission member, and he comes from Heppner. And you sit on the Heppner Planning Commission as
I
well?
Do. Yes.
Excellent. Yeah, wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you.
You have big shoes to fill.
Big shoes.
I'll let you know that.
Oh, that's right. if I may introduce, I'd like to introduce Daisy Goble, who this is her third week, and she's a principal planner with the planning department, and she comes from experience in John Day as a city planner and in the private sector with a large Salem firm. So we're super glad to have her.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And then the rest of us.
And Logan came back. So I think everyone's had time to review the minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to be made to the minutes?
Let's see, did Michael have his hand up?
You don't purposely have your hand up.
Oh, what's the hand up for? Is that on our end?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that's ours. Okay.
We're very tech savvy.
We're tech savvy.
So with there being no corrections, the minutes stand as presented. I will give you a little bit of a how we work. It's the public hearings go first, and so we have three on our agenda items. We have other business, correspondence, and public comment is after that. So follow that order so everybody knows, because a lot of you probably haven't been to one. So,
would it be all right if Michaela translated? Because I think we do have a few in the audience who might not speak English and are here for the public. If you could just let them know, Michaela, that the public comment period is at the very end of the meeting.
Okay, dice ya la señora que todos los comentarios públicos van a ser al último. Primero se van a presentar los permisos que tenemos y luego ya después pueden comentar.
And if they want to sign, they want to participate, they should sign the sheet.
Y también por favor si quieren participar en su comentario que firmen la forma de atrás.
Sí, thank you.
Okay, are you ready? Good evening. My name is Stacy Ekstrom, Chair of the Morrow County Planning Commission. I will be proceeding over tonight's meeting. Persons who wish to provide testimony may do so orally or in writing. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the applicable criteria. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes an appeal to the Board of Commissioners on that issue. Please sign in the back of the room and make a note in the chat if you are online if you would like to present testimony. Please speak only when identified by the chair and begin with your name, spelling of your name, and your address. If you have exhibits for our consideration, please give those to the planning staff. If you would like to request the commission hold open a record or continue a hearing, you must make that request before the public portion of the hearing is closed. That concludes the introduction. So tonight we are first hearing on AC-14923, ACM-15023, Comprehensive Plan Zoning Map Amendment. Rowan Pertron LLC is the applicant. First off, do I have any abstentions or conflicts? I don't think we had any before.
Any online?
Any conflicts
or abstentions?
All right, I'm guessing Tamara, are you?
It is. Unfortunately, you'll get to hear me talk a lot tonight because I have all three. Well, Landon has part of one, but we're teaming this up. Thank you, Stephen. So if I can draw your attention to the map on the screen, Three Mile Canyon Farms, they have a team representing them here tonight. They are proposing to rezone that hash mark area, which is 318 acres, from space age industrial to exclusive farm use. That property probably looks familiar. A few months ago, the Planning Commission and the Board approved a rezone of 274 acres. With a limited use overlay zone for a large data center for Rowan Percheron Data. And this is linked to that is all I can say. I don't know that I have that you really need to have me look at the staff report. I'm happy to answer any questions. I know the team is here, their legal team and their other staff, and they can share more for you. There is the action is both a comprehensive plan map and a zone change map, and it's a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners. I do in the file here we have on record an email from Gordon Howard, who's the Rural Services Manager for Department of Land Conservation and Development. And he just indicates that the rezone application is indeed in relation to negotiations to resolve the Land Use Board of Appeals appeal that the state filed, and just confirming that the department has no concerns related to Goal 9, and Goal 9 is economic development. So when we take land out of a zoning for industrial use and put it to something else, we typically need to address that. And I gave it some pretty minor treatment in the findings. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Hearing none, online. We invite the applicant to present testimony and evidence.
Good evening. My name is Elaine Albridge. I'm with Davis Wright Tremaine. I'm outside legal counsel for the applicant in this proceeding.
My name is Joe Safin. I'm with Rowan in support of the applicant.
And also with us tonight, we have some members from our team. We have David Shiflett, Tess Mike Morris and Michael McIntyre from Hubble. We're here tonight, and we'll keep it brief. We appreciate staff's review of our application and support the staff report with its proposed recommendations to approve the downzone that's been requested. We're happy to answer any questions tonight. We're very pleased to be here in this situation before you, having come to this resolution with DLCD. We think it's a really positive outcome, so we would appreciate your support with the rezone request so we can move forward to the board for consideration. Happy to answer any questions if you have any about any of the facts or any of the materials that were in our application.
Does the commissioner staff have any questions? Hearing none, I guess. Do you have, everyone's good? Does anybody, any opponents to testify or present evidence?
I don't think there's any online.
No, yeah, I'm keeping an eye online.
Okay. Does the commissioner staff have any additional questions? And then if not, we don't have anybody neutral.
We might have somebody neutral.
Is there someone neutral on the?
John, did you want to provide neutral testimony? John Jennings? Oh, he did.
So thank you. Thank you, Tamara and Chair. So John Jennings, I'm a community services specialist at the Oregon Department of Land Conservation Development. We're just here tonight to support the application. We think this is a decent outcome and would recommend that the county move forward to show this up and grant final approval. Thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, does anyone believe we need to keep the hearing open? Okay, at that point, we'll close the hearing. Any commission members have any additional questions? And if not, I will call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve AC-149-23, ACM-150-23, comprehensive plan and zoning map amendment.
I second it.
We have a motion made, second. Any discussion? Everyone in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion passed.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for making the trip out.
Yeah,
safe drive in that fog. It's pretty.
Thanks.
You're not going to stick around.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Second hearing is ACM-151-23, ACM-152-23, comprehensive map plan zoning map amendment. Selene. Bernal is the applicant. Susie Fredrickson, owner.
Yes, you're right. Is the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Tamara.
Yes.
Oh, anybody have any conflicts of interest? Hearing none.
All right, so thank you for bringing up the map. So this is, what I'd like to do is to present both the plan and map, plan map and zoning map rezone and the conditional use as a package, and then you would take action on the legislative piece separate from the CUP piece, if that's okay. It makes sense to have it all in one hearing, then repeating things. So the subject property is this parcel here that's in your packet. It's tax lot 1100. This is Highway 730. The gray area is city limits. Tax lots 500 and 1000. 501 and 600 are all commercial zone. Correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen. Those are commercial?
You're correct.
Okay. And this parcel is commercial, and this parcel is commercial. Tax lot 900 and 800 are suburban residential. So, and this property and these properties are not in the Irrigan Urban Growth Area. So the Andrades, whom you met a year or so ago, one of the families who are trying to find a place other than in a residential zone to run their trucking business, they've worked hard to find a piece of property. This one was available, and they're proposing to rezone it from suburban residential to A to general commercial, and then they also have a conditional use permit here for the to run the business. So they're proposing to have to replace the existing mobile home, put a newer, larger mobile home, and to build a shop. I think the site plan on page 31 of your packet shows their proposal. One of the conditions of approval is that they would modify the site plan, because I don't think they'll end up getting an access off of Highway 730 from ODOT. So just for context. Oh, good. Stephen has it up there also. So as I noted, there's similar commercial property in that area, and it's right on the state highway. The water supply is an existing well, and it's an exempt well. The property's also in the West Extension Irrigation District, and I don't think we got a letter from the district manager. There we go. They will need to coordinate with the district so that they don't build over one of those irrigation lines there. In terms of applicable criteria, summarized as best I could, it doesn't really feel like spot zoning to us, because it's adjacent to some commercial property both outside in the county and inside the city limits. It would abut the property to the north is in a residential zone. So in the conditional use portion of this application, I recommended some landscaping and possibly a fence just to create a nice buffer so that there was a buffer with a residential area there. On page 34 of your packet, we talk about compliance with both the state transportation planning rule and the transportation system plan. Since it's such a small development, I didn't ask them to submit a traffic impact analysis. We did provide notice among many agencies to ODOT, and a letter is in here from ODOT. ODOT obviously is concerned about impacts to the state highway. Mm-hmm. So a way to mitigate those impacts is they're recommending a trip cap. And that trip cap would be, there's a formula that they have. So based on the American Association of Highway Transportation Engineers, I think that's what it is. A typical single family residence has 10 trips per day. That may sound high or low depending on your household, but that's the formula that's used based on that manual. And then they also said if the applicant will have 5 trucks that are local, and it would only be 10 to 20 trips per day, so they want us to impose a trip cap of 30 trips per day, which would mean the residents and 5 trucks. That letter came in, I think I modified the findings. Are the CUP findings in?
I think it's under the next tab.
Page 32.
43.
Oh.
It's under the next tab.
Oh, okay. Mine is, okay. So the CUP findings address that. Sorry to toggle back and forth so much. Again, it's a small piece of property. It's really visible right on the state highway. I just did a pretty cursory findings to show how it complies with our local plan and with the statewide planning goals. I do note that it's in the critical groundwater area, but they're not proposing to use any additional water. And they also will use just one septic system, they'll either be able to use that existing septic system for the replacement mobile home, or they'd have to put in a new one. That's right. I did make a little bit lengthier comments about statewide planning goal 9. As you know, farm trucks in our community are important, so I just added some additional findings to say that rezoning this to commercial would be consistent with statewide planning goal 9. Many state agencies were notified. If somebody is on Zoom, would you mind muting? Oh, are you going to mute? Thank you. Perfect. Okay, thank you. Yeah, several state agencies were notified. So in terms of conditions of approval for the zone change piece, we have a list of 6 of those. The first one is to impose the trip cap of 30 trips per day. And then just ask the landowner to submit a report annually to verify compliance with the trip cap. That's a new thing. We've not imposed a trip cap previously, so it'd be a bit of the honor system to make sure they can comply with that. I just made a note here that the parcel would allow, if the Planning Commission were to recommend that the rezone be approved by the board and approve the CUP, it would only allow for a single dwelling. So the site plan has both of them. Just to avoid any confusion, it would only allow for one. Sorry, my apologies. I thought my phone was on silent. Sorry about that. The third condition would be to secure a conditional use permit prior to using the property for a trucking business. The fourth would be to construct a side-obscuring fence to buffer the trucks from the highway and from adjacent residences. Also to install some drought-tolerant landscaping to create a buffer and to present a positive aesthetic for the Irrigan Gateway. They might find that they don't want to use drought-tolerant landscaping. It just seems to be a little more sustainable in our area, so you might not want to retain that drought tolerant, just to install some sort of landscaping. Number 6, if the property is used for a trucking business, comply with access and or driveway spacing and improvement requirements recommended by Morrill County Public Works. And just to note that that may require a new access permit. So their site plan shows an existing access on the north part of their property. And they're also proposing one along here. And I don't think ODOT will get that. It wouldn't meet these spacing standards. So ODOT wants all the traffic to come here. So you don't want to, there's a fair amount of traffic that happens right here. They all meet the level of service requirements for ODOT. So I don't think that would be an option. Whoops. Oh, there you go. So they'll have to use that. And it might be that Public Works requests that they update their access permit or secure an access permit. And sometimes that means they put in an apron that would be the same surface, like asphalt, on that part of the road. For the zone change application on page 40, there's a letter from Oregon Department of Transportation. Rich Lanny signed it. And I already summarized that they agree a traffic study might not be required, but instead they imposed a trip cap. We might want to ask the Andrades tonight. I haven't had a chance to reach out to them since I wrote this. That might be fewer trucks than they were anticipating.
They're already entering the highway, either coming off Division or 8th Street this time. So really won't be a change, will it?
Well, it's just a trip cap at that location at that particular intersection.
So, but it's different than what they have already? It's bad? Or, I mean, do we know how many trips they have a day now? Are we going to make it less than what they're already doing?
We can ask them that.
That's the recommendation of Oregon Department of Transportation relative to this particular location. So it's apples and oranges. To some extent, it doesn't really matter. They're not going to analyze an existing development in a whole different location with the intersection and an access permit at this location.
Okay.
Yeah. And then also for the record, on page 41 is a letter from Jeffrey and Kathy DePop. Are they here tonight? Oh, excellent. Okay, so he may also provide some public testimony. And they're opposed to this for a whole number of reasons. And then we sent out via email today, and if not, we Michaela also put a paper copy of a letter from the city of Irrigan in the file. I'd like for the commission to enter this into the record. Irrigan's opposing it. They raised some different issues. I do want to point out that Irrigan, along with other cities, we provide a notice to Irrigan and a whole number of state agencies, and we have the affidavit of mailing in the file. So we did indeed notify the city of Irrigan prior to this, and then they also received a copy of the same packet that you received a week prior to the hearing. I think the city manager had an expectation that I might sit down and meet with him in a phone conversation today, just explain that we give every application a fair vetting in front of the Planning Commission. So he did receive notice and provided these particular comments.
Do the motion to add the letter from the City of Irrigan into record.
I move that we add this letter from the City of Irrigan into record.
Perfect. Just a second.
Second.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Seconded.
Yes, I'm sorry. Second. Any discussion? Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Okay.
Can people on Zoom hear Stacy? She just called for a vote to add a letter into the record. I wasn't sure if Commissioner Kilkenny and Thompson and Peterson heard that.
Yeah, I heard you. Yeah, yes. Okay. Sorry.
Perfect.
Didn't get on with,
okay, yeah. She's fast. You guys gonna...
Sorry.
She's really fast. And answered affirmatively.
Okay, got it. Thank you, Commissioner.
I also answered, yeah.
Got
I just
it.
Didn't unmute this.
No. Okay, that's right. Perfect. Okay. So if I might just talk about the conditional use request findings for a minute. The rezone, again, would be a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners, and the conditional use permit, you would make a final decision today. Do you want to talk about the conditional use stuff?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I'm Daisy Goble. I'm the new principal planner, and I didn't do a lot of the initial legwork on this, but helped do some, like, editing and additions and kind of a little bit of background research. And, so the criteria are listed under the conditional use staff report. So what we're making a determination on is compliance with the zone-specific standards. So setbacks, parking, lot coverage, height, lot size, all those things that are listed out and responded to here. In addition to the conditions that we've listed, the Planning Commission does obviously have the authority to discuss or add conditions they feel is appropriate based on public testimony and public comments. So let's see. Okay, so consistency with the comprehensive plan and objectives of the zoning ordinance is criterion number one. Number two is if it's located within the urban growth boundary, the city has an opportunity to review and comment on the subject proposal. This is not located within an urban growth boundary, so that criterion is not applicable. And then the third criterion is that it will not exceed the carrying capacities of natural resources or public facilities, and we responded to that. And address that both with the conditions of approval recommended and the critical groundwater overlay response there. So as far as discussion goes, those are the really two criteria that we're, reviewing this on. And I'm not sure who's here to testify.
Yeah, so thanks for that, Daisy. And then the conditions of approval, maybe you want to just touch on those. You helped propose too.
Yes, there are a few repeated conditions of approval from the zone change, and then a few that are a little different or worded differently, but it's mostly consistent. So it's that it's the conditional use permit is allowed only if the zone and plan map change is approved by the Board of Commissioners. So you can't just approve one without the other. There's that trip cap of 30 days. And we are requiring the landowner to submit a report annually to verify compliance with the trip cap. In reality, we'll probably only monitor that if there's like reports of excessive trips to the site, or if we feel that there's reason to ensure compliance or verify compliance with the trip cap. It's the applicant's responsibility to secure an access permit, just like Tamara went in depth on. Compliance with other requirements recommended by the Irrigan Rural Fire District. So when they go in for building permits, the fire department will analyze that, make sure they can get a hose to the house and the building, and that it's appropriately served by emergency access. The zoning permit is required for the new shop building, just to, again, double check that setbacks and anything that changes are in conformance, and only one dwelling is allowed on the property in conjunction with the commercial use, as addressed in the conditional use permit application. Number six is to obtain permit approval from Umatilla County Public Health. So we will review that through Alex and confirm that they are within that requirement. And then again, there's we do require a fence and drought-tolerant landscaping to make sure and mitigate any potential negative impacts to adjacent properties. And then finally, access and driveway improvements as recommended by Public Works. So, so the number 10 is the limitation to a single well. And 11 is where the property lies within the Luguama. It's recommended that they test the drinking water for nitrates. We put that in there to just make sure they're aware of that. And then parcels located within the West Extension Irrigation District, so they're required to coordinate with the district prior to the placement of building and construction of parking areas. So a lot of these are standard conditions, and then we also, as Tamara addressed, put in conditions requiring appropriate screening and landscaping so that we make sure that it's tastefully compliant with the adjacent residences.
Yeah. I put you on the spot because I can ask that. Nice job. And then Stephen has just an oral report from one of the neighbors who came in and spoke with him about the application.
Yeah, so Stephen Rusick's Moore County Planning. Approximately a week ago, the neighbor, Colleen Newbert, came in. Not in an official capacity, she's a deputy for Morrow County, but she is a an adjoining property owner. Let me share my screen here real quick. Colleen lives in, and her husband live in tax lot 401 here. She came in and she was really in support of it. She was heading out for some military training and didn't have time to write a letter or submit any type of testimony, but she was in support of it. Very much so in support of it. And I don't know, Tamara, if we can get some sort of testimony from them and put it in the record, or.
Well, it'll be noted in the minute. So I think, maybe when she returns, we could get something, or she could present for the rezone piece for the Board of Commissioners. But I thought that was valuable. She ran out of time before she ran. Had to leave the state. So thanks for sharing that, Stephen.
Sure.
So with that, Daisy and I can answer any questions of the commission.
Tax lot 1000, that's in the city of Irrigan, but yes. Is that zone commercial?
It is. And so is tax lot 500 and 501. Is that correct, Stephen?
Yeah, let me pull the, one second here. Let me pull the Irrigan zoning up for you. Here you go.
It's a different
So the The subject parcel is right here. And this is the tax lot that you were talking about, Trip, right here.
And all the orange is commercial, right, Stephen?
Correct.
So it would just commercial. Be continuing on adding one more piece of commercial property. It's a really good question. And so they'll have commercial on one side, residential on the north, and commercial across the street.
Would you, Trip, would it be beneficial for you to see the county zoning right now?
Sure.
Give me a second here, let me pull it up for you. So to the north is SR2, and then in the UGB it's zoned SR. So there's a 1 acre minimum in the SR, and there's a 2 acre minimum outside of the UGB. And then you've got these two CGs or the general commercials. So we would be changing this tax lot to match these two right here as general commercial.
And then the hatch mark area, I'm glad Stephen added that. The property with that hatch mark, that is in the urban growth area, but the other property is not. Once upon a time, it was in the city's urban growth area. And let's see. Early 90s, I'm looking at you. I don't think you were on the planning commission then. But in the early 90s, there were several residents who were in the urban growth area who removed themselves through a legislative action from the urban growth area.
Okay, thank you.
Hearing no more questions, I invite the applicant proponent to present testimony and evidence.
Yeah, come on up. Thank you. He has very nice daughters who've been helping
hello,
him.
Hello, hello. Good evening. Hi. So we wanted to submit...
first, name and address, please.
My name is Elizabeth Andrade. My sister is the one who bought the piece of land. And I'm here in her place because she couldn't make it today. And this is my dad, Caesar.
Hi, Caesar.
Yeah. Well, we just wanted to see if we could change the planning, the zoning on the property. We're a small trucking business, just trying to make ends meet. We want to see if we were at our old property where we weren't allowed to have trucks or any of that. And so we're here to make a change, to help out, to be in coordinates with everybody. And we're just here to try to make things right. So we're willing to work with you guys with any rules or anything. We're here to work with you guys.
Chair, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So did you see the letter from the Department of Transportation?
Yeah. What page is it on again?
Page 53. It's also on page. It's on another page. So that feels fairly restrictive to me to limit it to 5 trucks. But when I talked with your sister, since I think 4 of your trucks are the 10-wheelers, mm-hmm. they're active 2 months out of the year. What I'd like to explore with you and with ODOT, if they're okay, if you just park those there. Mm-hmm. But the trip cap would apply to those trucks that are coming and going regularly.
Year-round.
Yep. Year-round. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that's a pretty strict limit. And I think they purchased the property hoping they could have more trucks than that. We might have to do some interpretation of that trip cap with ODOT. And I think they could provide an annual report to us that says there are more than 5 trucks parked on the property, mm-hmm. but they still meet that trip cap, the 30 trips per day, because the other trucks are parked. And when you leave, usually September, you pull those off mm-hmm. and they come back in November. They don't come back and forth every day. They're just parked there.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So... I actually haven't followed up with ODOT about that, but I did talk to Selene a little bit about it. Okay, good. Perfect. Thanks, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any questions on the commission for the applicant?
I do. The state doesn't want them going out on the main highway,
with their with the access. What if they did it on Second Street instead of on the lane that goes east and west? What if they went straight west on Second Street? That's not a state highway. That's just a county road. It wouldn't affect any of the next door neighbors. The ones, the guy that complained, wouldn't affect the state.
There's a distance, there's spacing standards they would have to meet. So as long as they're far enough away from the highway, if that makes sense, so they're not just pulling out and turning directly onto the highway, as long as they're meeting those spacing standards, I believe we could approve it with as long as it's within the public works access permit requirements.
And the, so that's why the condition on both the zone change and the CUP was that they, if ODOT gives him an access on the state highway, that's your responsibility to get that access permit. I don't think they'll approve it. That's why they have an existing access that they can widen, which would come onto Second. Is it Second there?
Yes, it comes off the northwest corner of Second.
Right off, like, off Idaho Lane, straight across.
Okay, thank you.
Did I, is it, was that the right answer to the question?
Well, maybe you said it came off the northwest corner of the property on, you said it came onto Idaho?
It's almost, I think it's a, is it a vacated easement extension of Idaho that runs through their property?
Well, why not just go straight west on the Second Street?
Well, they will. Their access will be onto Second Street. But even when their access is Second Street, ODOT still wants the trip cap because they're not restricting them to a right-in, right-out, so they could take a right or they could take a left and go to the state highway.
On their proposal, they have a driveway marked about midway of their property on Second Street.
They showed several new proposed driveway entries. I think two on the highway, one on Second, and an existing driveway, and a proposed driveway coming off of that vacated extension of Idaho. And we did clarify in our findings that those are not approved with this conditional use permit. So as it stands, the only access that they have legal right to is that extension of Idaho Street that's been vacated, and that's their private driveway. It's on their property. So if they want in the future an additional access or to close this access and create a separate access either off the highway or off Second, they'll just need to go through the applicable routes to get an approved access permit. Either from that makes sense.
So you'll get one access, not three.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. They couldn't go in off Idaho and Second.
Well, I don't. Idaho's not even constructed, is it? Is that does
not
Idaho
through
go
their
through?
Property? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but it still would leave their property and go on to. It is. It isn't. It is there.
It's. I think just gravel, right?
Yeah, it's just gravel.
I know it would be gravel, but Second Street probably paved.
Yeah. It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they can put, they can have one access onto Second Street.
Okay.
And then the ODOT didn't say right in or right out, which is good.
ODOT doesn't have anything to do with Second Street.
Right, just the impact to that intersection. Okay. Yeah, that's, you're right.
Okay. I did have a question on hours. Like, would you feel like your peak season and off-peak season times it, you're going to see trucks go in and out or trucks being worked on?
Go ahead, because we
do las horas. Pues de las 6 de la mañana normalmente a las 8.
So it would be like around 6 in the morning when they would leave, and then 8 in the afternoon when they would come back.
And I do have a question for clarification. For the shop that you're proposing is for your vehicles only?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Mm-hmm. And we can add that to the findings also just to clarify because I think that was a concern of some folks.
Hours of operation.
And we could also, I didn't address hours of operation, but we could.
If it gets, zoning gets changed to where it's a commercial setting, Can we restrict that?
Because it's a conditional use. Even in the commercial zone, it's a conditional use, so you could.
That's not fair, is it?
It seems it's restrictive, but the reason, I think some of the standards that Daisy mentioned in the conditional use section, if the Planning Commission thought that was necessary to mitigate any impacts to, say, the residential zone, you could consider that.
Well, you know, these other people are living in the rural. It's rural residential, correct?
It is,
but
yeah.
They don't want any, they want the same benefits of living right in the city. So that isn't fair to people that